Hello and welcome back to the Fighting Fairness Podcast. Today we have Chase again sharing on freedom and breaking strongholds of shame and rejection. He also talks about the call to go into all the world and the importance of freedom in that. Let's jump right in.
Awesome. Man, that testimony was the right way to start the day together. Because that's going to be the norm for all of you. Don't we want to see God break out in our daily lives like that all the time? That's why we testify. Say, do it again, God. Amazing. Everyone doing good today? Yeah. Everyone got enough sleep last night? No. That was a resounding no. Why? No sleep? Oh, you got your outreach locations yesterday? Yeah. I almost took a poll. How many of you are excited and how many need to work through some disappointments? Kidding. We're all excited, Chase. That's so awesome. Where are you guys going? Man. That is amazing. I got all of that. Thank you. No, I got all of that. New Zealand, Norway, South Africa. For sure. For sure. For sure. Yeah. South Korea. I'm so excited for today. Are there a few people missing today? Is there somebody? Are some people doing stuff this morning? Are we missing some staff, Zane? Are we missing anybody? This side feels so much emptier than yesterday. Oh, nice. Okay, great. Are they coming back? Are they busy all morning? Yeah, that might be good. Might need some help. All right. Oh! It's awesome. Oh, man, I'm in a good mood today. Anybody in a good mood today? I've sincerely, deeply enjoyed this week with you guys. My report, I was hanging out with one of my best friends, Taylor Stutz, yesterday with Derek, and he was asking a few questions. He's like, man, how is it out here? I was like, sincerely, the Fire and Fragrance tent in Kona is one of my favorite places to be on the planet. So, thank you for bringing hunger every day for Jesus. Thank you for keeping the culture just so on fire for God. It's so enjoyable to pursue Jesus together. It's been really, really amazing. So before we jump in, I wanted to hear a little bit from yesterday as Derek took us out of fear and into courage and living and saying yes to a courageous lifestyle. I want to get a little bit of feedback from you guys from either the first or second session. What's some things that God did in your heart yesterday, or what were some of the things that he said that are like, man, I'm grabbing a hold of that. That's the way I want to live. I want to live a life, you know, worth Jesus dying for. Whatever it was, like, what were some of the things that Derek said yesterday or things that struck your heart? I'd love to hear a little bit. Yeah, right here, bro. What's your name again? Hunter. Let's go, bro. All you have to do is take the step and the Lord will guide it. That's what she said. You just got to take that first step of risk. The Lord will meet you in that. That's right. Did anybody else want to just kind of climb a mountain yesterday? Maybe jump off, just wanted to do something. Did anybody take any radical risk yesterday? Maybe go down to Ali'i, go preach the gospel. Did anybody do something just like, I'm going to embrace this? How many of you guys called somebody in a family member? How many of you guys took a risk yesterday? Practical. Let's go, guys. Awesome. Okay. We'll just do one or two more, and then I have a question before we jump in. There was like one right here. Yeah, go ahead. That's right. Courage is not the lack of fear. It's moving forward despite what you may feel with the feeling of fear. So good. Okay, right there. Come on. Let's go. That's right. No man or woman will have coward with their name in the same sentence in this tent. That's right. Come on. So good. Okay. Well, guys, this is our last day together. Tears. Don't worry. We'll be friends for a lot longer than this week because a lot of you guys are probably going to get marked for the long term. And so we'll see each other all around the world. That'll be fun, won't it? But before the second session, we're going to share a little bit, I think. I'm going to share a little bit of stories in faith. Derek's going to share a little bit probably on just empowerment from the Spirit of God. I know exactly what he's going to share, but this first session, before we get into all that, because I do have a strong expectation that we have been in an unusual week where God has been landing on this group with faith. I feel like there's an uncommon faith that God's deposited in our hearts. And so we're going a little bit not ordinary for a Freedom Week. We really feel like there's a measure of encountering the Spirit of God for all of us today. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Say it again, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
So the most important relationship you can have to walk in sustained freedom is friendship with the Holy Spirit. So this is at a bedrock of you continuing, sustaining, replacing things you're getting delivered of. But before we get there, I'm just kind of stirring your heart with anticipation and kind of salting the trail for where we're going to go today. But before we go there, there's a lot of strongholds and categories of freedom in the Freedom Manual, in your Salvation Encounter. You guys both have both those books, right? I have one that there's one more thing I want to do, because I want to model one last time before we go for what we're going to go for the second half of today. But I want to model one more time that these tools that you've been given are really powerful. And you don't have to overcomplicate sometimes or feel like you have graduated from seminary four different times to walk in greater freedom. And so I want to model one more time using one of the manuals of walking through a category of freedom. I have one that I want to hit, but and I never normally do this, but for me, I felt such a hunger from you guys. I'm open to maybe hitting one or two that isn't in my plan. I want to show you, if I'm unprepared, I'm just going to lean on the manual and model that it's really possible to lead other individuals through freedom in the moment. If someone's like, I'm just bound by anger, can you please help me? Yeah, let me grab my Freedom Manual. I'm going to help you. I got so much fear in my life. I don't know what to do, and maybe I can't preach the same message as Derek did yesterday. What do I do? Well, grab my Salvation Encounter. Come with me. There's a chapter on fear. Let's get free together. I want to model that it's really possible to use these tools, use the four R's, the things that we've been talking about the last 3 days, to lead yourself and others into greater realms of freedom. Amen? Because this has got to be a freedom brigade. Everywhere you guys go, you got to walk in confidence that you are free and you can lead others to freedom. Amen? Okay, so I have one I want to hit, but you can turn to the table of contents in Salvation Encounter Freedom Manual. Is there any area, whether it be anger, unforgiveness, shame, is there any area that you are desperate to get free from? Or that you're like, man, this would be awesome if we could go after this stronghold. Is there any specific areas you're like, can we please hit this? Last seed of faith on this. Let me get your attention really quick. We'll keep going. Again, reason we're doing this, guys, is not random. See, most hands went up on rejection and shame. So I'm just looking for what is the Spirit of God stirring in our hearts of like, I want to bring the most breakthrough on this area. And so in prayer, I felt there was a few different categories. So I'd rather lean in because we only have limited time together. And you can't rush, or you can't necessarily take care of every single stronghold or every single area. The temptation of religion is to say, we got to do the whole Freedom Manual today to be really free. Oh, I'm not free. No, that's not true. The Spirit of God is going to be sanctifying us our entire life. So there's not a pressure, guys, this week to try to feel like, I've got to do every single stronghold in the moment. However, this week should be an ignition and a catalyst. If there is an area or a stronghold in your life that you want to get free of, attack it head on. If you raise your hand for anger and you're like, I desperately want to get free of buried anger and frustration. I don't know how to get out. Don't wait for a class time. Grab the manual, grab a staff. Pull them aside during a lunch or a dinner. It is so worth attacking the strongholds that are plaguing your life head on. So we're just going to do one more, or maybe two. We'll see if we have time for both of these. We're going to hit these just for one more rep. One more. This is not just a rep. This is real time that the Holy Spirit's going to come in the tent, and he's going to set our hearts free in a greater way today, okay? Does that sound good? Okay. Rejection or shame first, Lord? Which one? Let's start with rejection, okay? I haven't done this in a long time. This will be fun. And I hate rejection. It's a bummer. Okay, you guys ready? We're going to read the paragraph out loud. It's another model, okay? Ready? We belong to a society. Does that sound good? Okay, here we go. We belong to a society that values winning and worships winners. We live in a world system that chooses favorites and rejects seconds. We learn nearly from birth that the most popular, the most attractive, and the most talented are in. Those who do not fit that description, most of us, are out. And so even before specific action or attitude presents itself, the stage has been set for each of us to live life battling rejections. And somebody say, oh, nuts! Oh. Guys, I have too much fun getting free of these things. It's just too fun. Okay, I'll read this part. Rejection's foundational to many stronghold sins, dysfunctions. It's because rejection affects our entire personality. It not only tears down an individual, but it infiltrates all relationships, marriage, family, ministry, work, friends. The stage for rejection has already been set by the world system, which we know to be under the direction of Satan himself, the accuser of the brethren. We yearn for love and acceptance, but instead receive rejection. We learn to believe the lies forced on us about our own value, our own significance, and the love of God, who is our heavenly Father. However, for in Christ, we don't need to be held captive to the way the world thinks. We're not of this world. There's all the Bible verses for that. We have not been rejected. We have been accepted. Okay, first Bible truth hitting your heart right now. You have been accepted in Jesus Christ. So we got to know that this is the spiritual and biblical foundation from which we're going to attack this stronghold. We're not coming trying to earn our way back into acceptance. You're already accepted. When you said yes to Jesus and surrendered your life to him because of the blood, it's the same foundation. You are already accepted in the Father's eyes. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, okay? Romans 5. Our confident expectation of salvation will not disappoint us. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What a great truth. Christians reject you. The world rejects you. Guess who didn't? No, Jesus really didn't. That's why later today when we pray for an infilling and encounter with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be so important to replacing all the things we're getting free of. Because you've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been given what is most precious to God. It's his very spirit. It's himself. He's given you of himself. So we are fully accepted. Okay, here's some roots of rejection that a lot of us experience. Ready for this? A lot of us experience this based on stats. I can look at this tent and I can know that from these categories, a lot of us from a little bit to a lot of it will experience these roots of rejection, okay? We live in a broken world. Absentee fathers or mothers. Lack of bonding with parents. Parents divorce. Okay, first three, guys. First three. I can already let out a groan of personally relating to this first three. So you got to know that you're not in trouble if you relate with these roots. You got to recognize where the roots are coming from so that you can get free and forgive, okay? Adoption, competition with brothers and sisters, various forms of abuse, physical, emotional, sexual, parents' addictions, shame of a family member. Because someone in your family did something that brought rejection from others. An alcoholic parent could be an example. Constant fighting or strife. Unjust discipline. Parents' disinterest in a child's activities. Various means and degrees of neglect. Mistreating another person. Addictions. Living with a physical defect or handicap. Discontent with one's appearance. Man, it's pretty obvious that we all experience some form of rejection in our life. Let's finish it just so we can finish it. Sense of failure, inadequacy, lack of confidence, inabilities, infidelity of a spouse, divorce, breaking off of an engagement or other significant relationship, loss of valued employment, betrayal by a close friend, unexpected premature death of a loved one, spiritual abuse, hurt, or betrayal in a church. Man, on the count of three, let out a groan if you've experienced any root or form of rejection. 3, 2, 1. Did you hear the volume? Did you hear the volume on that groan? Okay. Important to note, though, these are the roots and rejection's a spirit. Remember, we're in a real war. So we're going to have fun, but this is a real war, and rejection is a spirit that wants to throw you off track in your destiny and calling with God. Your original design, who you are, it wants to take you out and throw you or delay or hinder you from walking in the fullness of who you are in Jesus. Okay. Here's some fruits. So we got the roots. Let's get the fruits. This is where the rejection spirit can get ground in your life. It can get territory. That topos we talked about, this is where it gets access is from these roots. What we're going to look at right now is how do those roots then display themselves in the fruits? Roots to fruits, okay? Here we go. All right. Seriously. It says check all the boxes that apply to you guys. You guys see that? How many of you guys are excited? Hey, can't get bummed if you check a box. I've been walking with Jesus as passionately as I can the last 15 years, but guess what? Every time I do these worksheets, sometimes the Holy Spirit highlights a whole fresh round of, you got freer, but I got a little more for you, son. Here you go. So we are joyfully, guys, after each line, we're going to let out. Let me hear that groan one more time. We'll let out a groan, even if it's 10%. Here's the deal. What if you're like, man, I'm not really nervous. I don't have really any nervous tendencies, Chase. I'm pretty free. If you got 5%, why not get to 100% free? Unless you're too proud. I'm going to let out groans with you. How about that? Okay. Nervousness. We're going to check the boxes. You guys ready for that? Whoa, there's 12 categories. Nuts. I thought there was like 5. Let's do the first one. I talk over others. Interrupting. I fear not being heard or understood. Oh. You guys are liars, man. That was like 30%. No, come on. Have you ever been? I feel like I did this to my wife last week. She's telling me about something. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to tell you something great. Chase, I'm telling you a story right now. No, I know. But I got an even crazier story to tell you, babe. Chase, I just wanted to tell you that Parker, he didn't cry going to preschool yesterday. He did a great job. That's amazing, babe. But ministry exploit coming your way. Are you ready for this? I'm not secure myself, so I want to tell you what I did with this other leader. So I'm going to interrupt you right now. Or it could just be at the lunchtime. Somebody's talking, but you got to say something so bad. They're pouring out their heart to you. Man, I can't believe it. It's like, what was your name again? Nat. She's telling the story. Me and my sister, we have this breakthrough moment. Man, guys, can we pray for my dad? Just interrupt her. She's having like a life moment, tear coming down her cheek. Oh, no. So rejection will get in the way of relationship. Okay. Talk over others. Anybody want to stop doing that? I got a bad case of interrupting sometimes, guys. All right, number 2. Let's do that one again, though. Let's be honest. I just gave you time to think about it. You talk over others, interrupting. I fear not being heard or understood. Oh. I experience nervous physical activity, including inability to rest without activity. You okay, Chase? Yeah, I'm fine. Fine. Bro, why can't you? I just can't sit still. It's my personality. Now, sometimes there is a deal. Like, I actually can't sit still that well. But if it's like a nervous-driven route where you can't sit still because you're wondering what other people think about you, that's where we got to get free, okay? All right. Third one, don't get mad at me. I'm impatient with my personal growth and the growth of others. Woo. Somebody told me that I was Reinhard Bonnke and Smith Wigglesworth together. If you don't know who Bonnke was, Derek said it, so you should listen. Wigglesworth moved in power, healing, revivalist. Somebody told me through my original design, prophetic DNA, baby. You're looking at the Bonnke Wigglesworth combo pack. World never seen anything like it. But Lord, I haven't seen one field filled with 1 million people. What's going on? Not even 1 million. I haven't even seen a tent full of a couple hundred people. Lord, I haven't even led one thing, and I'm Bonnke, man. I just got asked to clean the toilets on my work duty. I'm missing my calling. I'm a DTS student, but my staff said I should come back and staff, man. That's too slow. I need an evangelistic ministry now with my own private plane. I'm Bonnke, baby. It's just because I don't trust God, so I'm not willing to serve and trust his timing. I only go there, guys, because most of my 20s, I was like, where are the words, Lord? Why aren't they coming true yet? He's getting impatient with. Aaron ever get impatient with God? Oh, be honest. Man, why isn't Derek even wilder of a preacher yet? I mean, yesterday, I thought I saw like actual, like physical miracle of fire coming out of his mouth, but I want to actually see the physical miracle. He's growing too slow as a preacher. Yeah, Derek needs to speed up. Our generation's dying. Come on, dude. You're holding back when you preach. I feel it. And I'm annoyed. And you ain't going to get frustrated with other people's development. That was a silly one because that's not true at all. But oh, man, why isn't Johnny making his bed? Never mind. All right. Nervousness. Let's go to the next one. Number two. Impatient with other people's growth. Here's the deal. This is really important, though. If we can't be patient with other people's development, you can't expect them to be patient with yours. That's why Jesus harps pretty good on don't judge. Take care of the plank in your own eye before you go speck land. You want to make sure that you're extending tons of mercy and grace, because that measure that you extend is what's actually extended towards you. It's much better to be on the mercy grace zone in people's development. All right. Everyone say, or actually, don't everyone say anything. Let's just do this. How many of you guys would like to repent for any way that fruit of nervousness, let's get that root of nervousness out today. You guys want to get that root of nervousness out really quick? Watch this. You're going to do it sitting down. Watch the power. Just see your heart engage. You guys ready for this? We're just going to repent for every way we talk over others. We get nervous activity, and we're impatient with our personal growth and the growth of others. You guys want to see how this works? This is how you use the manual. You're sitting with somebody that's like riddled with rejection, and they don't know how to get out. I want to encourage you, don't overcomplicate. Just use the manual and watch God move in power. Engage in faith with me right now, though. If you're praying a robotic prayer, you might as well walk out the tent. But if there's some level of your heart that you want to get free of today, right now, it's about to go under the blood, and you're going to experience more freedom right now. Watch this. Say this with me. In Jesus' name. A little bit louder. In Jesus' name.
We repent.
For talking over others. Interrupting.
Being afraid.
Of not being heard.
Or understood.
For all nervous physical activity. Out of fear of what others think.
We repent.
For all impatience. With our personal growth
and the growth of others.
Free me, Jesus.
I
say this to me, in Jesus' name,
I'm forgiven
for all nervousness
in Jesus'
name. All right, let's do the next one. Thank you for repeating that. Pursuing comfort. This is exciting. Look at that first one, one word. We're going to slay this one in shame in just a second. Lust. Oh. Hate that one. This is so important. I'm going to go off on this in 10 seconds. The root, maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes. The root of lust in our lives is from a lack of intimacy with Jesus Christ. We're going to pull the root in just a minute. I feel it so strong when we go after shame. We're going to pull the root of lust and sexual temptation and sexual sin in just a minute. We're going to go after it. But underneath part of that root system is an unbelief that you will be satisfied in the love of God. And so lust, porn, adultery, premarital sex, all forms of sexual sin and lust has a root system of unbelief, doubting that the love of God would satisfy our heart. And so we got to repent of all forms and open wide our heart so that the love of God can actually come in. Because you can't expect for your heart. It's Thursday, guys. It's been a good week. You can't expect for your heart to be full of the love of God if it's full of lust. Because it's love for something else besides Jesus. And it's not ordained by God. and sexual sin. Anyway, I'm going to go off on this in shame second. But how many of you guys are like, all forms of lust, I want to get it out of my life? Yes, come on. Okay. Procrastination. Oh. Do we have any all-night studiers before the test? Any, like, last second get it done? You get the assignment and you wait. Man, it's a common human condition. Do you know why we do that? It's because doing the job before being comforted by things that we enjoy goes contrary to our flesh. When you get an assignment that your flesh doesn't enjoy, you put it off till the last second. So it's a form of rejection. Like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Am I going to do a good job? So we pursue a comfort of procrastination because I'd rather look at Instagram for 2 hours and then say I have an addiction when really I just needed to say no by the will that's inside of me, put it down, put the phone in another room, and just do what God asked me to do. Just got to cut it out sometimes. All right. Third one, I delay taking responsibility. I delay discipline. Oh, only four of you. Oh, okay. I live for the weekend or for sport. I'm in Hawaii, baby. Can't wait till Chase is out of here. I'm going to the beach. My parents made me do DTS. I'm going to the beach. Let's just cut off living for the weekend. Man, what a boring life. That means like five of the days you don't expect God to move. I'm a Sunday, Wednesday Christian. What a bummer. He's alive every single day. He wants to show up at our workplaces. He wants to show up no matter where we are. God is alive, okay? So we're not going to be weakened Christians, amen? There's no weakened Christians in the tent, so that's an easy one today. All right, do you guys want to repent of pursuing comfort? Okay. Say, Jesus,
I'm sorry
for every way
I've pursued the comfort
of lust,
procrastination,
delay in taking responsibility,
and living for the weekend.
Forgive me, Jesus. Okay, real time. I'm just asking. Does anybody see, as we're going through this, remember, this is in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in the tent right now. He's moving on our hearts by faith. Does anybody start to feel this weight of rejection start to come off of you? Is there anybody that's starting to feel a little bit lighter right now? A few guys? Amen. Okay, social awkwardness. You guys are so cool, man. That's none of you. Nobody in here struggles with that, so I'm just going to skip it. In a bit. Oh, you guys want me to hit it? Okay, we live in a strange age where we are more comfortable on camera for like a TikTok, Instagram life than we are sometimes in our relationships with each other. So I want to encourage you guys that I don't actually think TikTok and Instagram are all bad. I think you can use them for the kingdom in radical, wild ways in the Spirit. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that in Circuit Riders. Derek does it. He's like him and Chloe are like, they're cool, man. They get it done. They bring the kingdom on there. But I would say this. I think sometimes there's a tendency to hide right here. Okay, here's how you can know. Walk into a social setting. See how long it takes you before you go. You should see how long you can go initiating with other people in a social setting, learning their name, their family history, what they like and don't like, their story. See how long you can go pressing through your own anxieties and social awkwardnesses. See how long you can keep your phone in your pocket before you start manifesting like me. See how long you could go. It will bring so much joy to your life. It will astound you. Speaking from personal experience. Okay, so social awkwardness. I'm fearful and nervous in social situations. Oh, there's a lot of people in the tent. I didn't get time to comb my hair, and I know they're all looking at me. Forgot my gel at home. Is that dating me, gel? I really did, guys. I forgot my gel at home. I'm out of hair. I need a haircut. I bet they're, even if you're sitting back row, I bet they're all looking at me right now. It's Thursday. I forgot my Thursday dress. If you're a lady, not me. So often we get into social situations And we get fearful and nervous because guess what? We're human, guys. We want people to like us, and so we get concerned that people will like us rather than having an outward focus and learning who people are and loving people. Best way to break social awkwardness is to have an outward focus and love people. Okay. I gravitate towards those who are shy or inadequate. Nobody in here does that. It's just me. All right. I communicate with others in guarded and general terms. Chase, how's it going? Good, 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 good. It looked like Parker and Zion were like really upset yesterday. Like they got in a big fight at the park. No, they're okay, man. My boys are awesome. Amazing boys. Warriors for God. Do you need any help, bro? It seems like they've been getting a lot of fights lately. Like, just fellow dad, man. Man to man. Do you need any help, Chase? No, dude. Doing great. No help needed? None. Doing awesome. Okay. I saw you during prayer and worship yesterday. There was like a lot of joy songs, and you didn't smile one time. You just kind of stood in the corner. You didn't even sing. I was meditating, man. You were? Yeah, doing great. Doing great. If we never get into the specifics about what's going on in our life, it's probably out of fear of people knowing who we really are and they'll reject us. If they knew this sin, they wouldn't want to be my friend anymore. If she finds out my history, I'll never have a chance at a second date. Real time. I'll go real time, guys. I took Lindy out. Amazing. It was a miracle in and of itself. After our first date, amazing first date. It was awesome. But before our second date, I said, hey, I just want to let you know, here's some of my history where I fell into sexual sin. Here's the stuff. I just want to let you know on the front end. And I'm not saying timing-wise, you can follow the Holy Ghost. But on the front end, I want you to know my history. And I stepped out of fear of rejection saying, like, she's got to know who I really am from the front end. Because I'm not going to go 4 months and then say, like, hey, here's actually this. I'm like, here you go. This is the story. If you want to keep going, I'm down. But if it's too much, I get it. And guess what? It laid a bedrock of trust between me and Lindy in our relationship. Because she knew I wasn't here to hide anything. I was here to be honest and vulnerable and transparent so that we could always do that with each other no matter what's going on in our life. You got to be willing to take vulnerable risk in relationship. This goes not just in marriage. This goes in bros' relationship too. Hey, man, how's it going? Good, 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 good. Hey, man, I know you confessed getting free of porn, man. How's the last week been? Good, 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 good. It's amazing, dude. No struggles? No, 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 no. Good, 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 good. That's awesome. Okay. You still got Instagram deleted? Good, 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 good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes bro times can be like, how's it going? Good. We should have those times, man. We should eat a steak and celebrate and play basketball, have fun. But guess what? If we want the men's movement and wild men that Derek's talking about, we have to be willing to confront the things that are actually going on in our life. Part of being a courageous man is being willing to be vulnerable about the sin issues in your life with other bros. We got to be willing to tell each other, guys. All right. Felt some heat on that one. All right. I leave times with others wishing I had spoken or behaved differently. Dang it. Oh, I have too many examples in my head of my failures, guys. Man, this is why we're going back. Okay, this is how it builds on each other. This is why you got to be patient with your development. Because on my first date with Lindy, guess what? I hit probably 17 home runs by the grace of God. Flowers, restaurant out of my budget, nice letter. Oh, yeah. Great questions. But it wasn't 100. I wasn't batting 1,000. There might have been a moment or two in that first date where it got a little quiet. And I was a little nervous because I was like, dang, she's amazing and really beautiful. Oh, what do I say? Oh, it's quiet for a second. Tell me more about your family later on that night. Doing the Sports Center replay of the first date. Flowers were great, man. Great conversation. But that one moment, I suck. I'll never get a second date even though she already said yes. Dang it. No. Sometimes we got to retire the SportsCenter replay of every single conversation. Give yourself some grace. Let yourself off the hook. You aren't going to do every relationship, friendship. You're not going to do it all perfect. It's good to look back so that you can grow. But if you look back, and it's not for development or growth, but it's so that you can take your fist and start punching yourself in the head, put the fist down and say, God loves me. We got to stop beating ourselves up and thinking that it's going to help our growth. Now, if you do totally biff it, though, like really mess up, what's an extreme example? Lord, help me. Like, say you just say something really rude and you shouldn't have done it. You say something really rude to a lady, if you're a guy. Then when the SportsCenter replay comes, don't just sit there and beat yourself up. Go back and apologize. So this isn't permission to beat yourself, but it's also not permission to not, you know, deal with our stuff. All right. Anybody want to repent of social awkwardness? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Say this with me. Jesus,
we repent
for being fearful and nervous in social situations. I'm created
to love people.
And I do a great job.
I
got nothing to be afraid of.
It's
just another human.
I'm
going to
be all right.
Okay.
Say, I repent.
When I communicate.
And
guarded in general terms.
When you're highlighting specific things.
I repent.
When I
leave times with others.
And
I just beat myself up.
I grab
the 2x4.
And
I hit myself
in the head.
Instead of building
a house.
Jesus, forgive me.
I repent.
Social awkwardness.
Say
this with me.
Jesus,
I'm going to follow
your lead.
In social settings.
I got this.
I got this.
I got this.
Some of you guys are like, is this a real prayer time? This is a real prayer time. But your religion might not be telling you it's real, but it's real. No, we got to be honest with God to get free. All right. Do you guys want to do one more or skip to shame? I want to leave time, so we're not going to go that much longer on these. I really felt, I'm saying it again, guys, grab what we're doing. If you want to do every category of rejection, you feel like that spirit is leaving your body, like, oh my gosh, I feel light as a feather right now. Anybody feeling lighter than they did? Raise the hands if you already, raise your hands nice and high. You want to know why? Because this social awkwardness one, there was a stronger groans on it because God wanted to deliver us from it. And in our generation, it's easier to be socially awkward, and I think primarily because of phone and phone addiction. So God wants us to be free in our relationships with each other. So he's going after that. All right. Do you guys want to hit the inability to accept self? All right, we'll do the next two. We'll do the next two, and then we'll skip to shame. Let's do these fast, though, okay? I'm constantly preoccupied and discouraged over my appearance.
Oh,
it's real life, guys. Did you know that God made us all different? And that what Hollywood tells us isn't just the top of the mountain? No, let's take another 30 seconds to a minute. We got to declare war on what our generation says is amazing and beautiful and normal. I'm so tempted to preach a whole message right here. We got to take ground. We're an over-sexualized generation. Modesty is not just hottesty. Modesty is like the way of righteousness. If you're, all right, I'm so tempted. If you're over preoccupied and discouraged by your appearance, it's out of unbelief that God has somebody for your future. And you don't believe there's going to be somebody that loves you for who you are. And you've bought the lie that Hollywood told the truth and that you have to look a certain way to be considered beautiful or handsome. When I read my Bible in Ephesians 2:10, it says we are his workmanship. And it didn't pick out a personality type or a body type or anything. It just said that we are his workmanship. So I think it's time to fire the judge in our mind and the judge in our heart, that we keep beating ourselves up and start embracing how God made us and know that it is beautiful, know that it is handsome, know that it is amazing. You got to start embracing that. Because guess what? When you start embracing that and you don't care a lick what somebody thinks and you're walking around so free, guess what? That is going to draw that person that's going to be like, dang, they are so free. Because you know what's more attractive than physical appearance is a free heart and a free spirit. And don't worry, your future spouse, I don't know why I'm going off on this, but this is important because usually this time of life we're over preoccupied. We think about it way too much, and God's like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of that. I spent so many times, guys, I'm in a message now. Lord, help me. I wasted so much time being concerned with others' thought about my appearance. It's a big time waster. And it doesn't mean, all right, let's just keep going. Constantly preoccupied, discouraged over our appearance. Can we just lay that one to rest? Doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself. Doesn't mean you can't get dressed up and look beautiful or look handsome. That stuff is so fun. That's so amazing. But we can't be overly preoccupied with it, where it becomes a constant rating system and we're constantly wondering, do we hit the mark? We got to put that thing to rest today, okay? I'm discouraged over my personal weaknesses. Oh, man. I wish I was as strong as Derek, man. Every time I go to the CrossFit box, man, he's stronger at everything, Lord. Why'd you make me this way, man? Man, Derek is so strong. His muscles, dude, his arms, dude, they're like the size of Texas, man. It sucks. You gave me chili, Lord. I got chili arms. Nation of chili, man. Look at that skinny, man. Dang. Why am I so lanky, Lord, man? What the heck? Let's go other personal weaknesses besides physical appearance. Oh, man, Lord. I wish I was a prolific writer, man. Brian was such a good writer, man. There's like 5 manuals up here. Gosh, my notes are like half a page, man. Suck at writing. All I can do is talk. Can't write, man. Derek writes more than me, too. He's stronger, and he writes more, man. Derek sucks. I'm kidding. Personal weaknesses, guys. It's not just that. Think about areas you get discouraged of your personal weaknesses. You got to start celebrating your personal weaknesses because then God can shine through them. Wow. Christian life isn't a life about who's the best Christian. It's just about being a devoted follower to Jesus, which requires weakness. It demands you embrace your weakness. All right. Next one. I'm unable to fully appreciate what God has created me to be and do. Oh, man, did you know that some people might not have a Reinhard Bonnke calling in the tent? Some? You might have more of a Mother Teresa bent. We're going to be full of compassion, and you're going to love. But you know what? Maybe you're not Mother Teresa. Maybe you're one of the ladies that nobody knows your name. But you're going to go to India, and you're going to love so many vulnerable kids, and nobody will ever know your name. But you're going to change so many kids' lives and futures because of compassionate love that you, in the courts of heaven, you are a hero beyond hero. And maybe you are a bonky type. And you're going to lead millions to Christ. And guess what? In the courts of heaven, you're a hero beyond hero. We've got to celebrate all the different assignments and callings that God puts. Man, maybe you have a passion for cooking and you're going to be over the kitchen over here. Well, that's a lesser thing, Chase, really? It's a lesser thing to provide healthy nutrition for thousands of missionaries that are going all over the globe, that are reaping a harvest in every nation on the planet, that are multiplying labors, that are giving people the ability to stay focused on the things that God has for those seasons of their life. That's a lesser thing. Come on, man. We got to start celebrating every single assignment in the body of Christ. All right. Accept what you're called to, because it's going to be an awesome ride. All right. Downplay, boast in the abilities, unable to truly acknowledge or celebrate others' victories. I'm jealous. I envy the desirable qualities of others. I'm extremely hard on myself. Can we just, inability to accept ourselves, can we just repent of that thing and get it out of here? I feel like we hit it pretty hard. I feel like we hit it long enough. We're just going to give ourselves a big hug and say, thank you, Jesus, for how you made me. A lot of you guys are really doing it. That's amazing. Say this to me, in Jesus' name. I repent for not accepting myself. Any way I've rejected myself, hated myself, beat myself up, cursed myself in my mind, cursed myself out loud. I repent for every single way. In Jesus' name, I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So rejection. Shut your mouth. I won't partner with you. It's good. Last thing, I want to smash one thing on shame. We'll take a break and we're going to come back for a Holy Ghost impartation. All right. Anyway, we have a critical attitude toward others. Anyway, we do not fully trust others. Oh. Hold others in their motivation suspect. I know why he wants to lead prayer. Hey, Zane, can I talk to you? The student's really wanting to lead prayer. I smell something. Truckload of selfish ambition on him. Did you say truckload? Oh, yeah. I mean a truckload. This dude's got so much ambition, it's insane. Have you talked to him? Not one time. But I wanted to come to the authority instead of talking to him in relationship about why he wants to lead prayer. I wanted to come straight to the authority as soon as I heard that he wanted to do something spiritual and say, that's spiritual pride and ambition. Well, you've never asked me to lead a prayer meeting. Are you sure it's ambition? Maybe he's just hungry and initiatory. No. I have a Holy Ghost gift of discernment. I saw right to his motivation from moment one. Ambition. My radar was going off. Ambition. All right. Are you sure? We can get so critical of people's motivations without ever talking to them. Can we fire ourselves from being over discerning and over critical? This is part of the embracing of other people's development. We can't judge. We can't go after that when we hold other people's motivations suspect. Man, God's going to judge everybody. They're going to stand before God. Let's not worry about that. If you need to confront as a leader, you need to confront as a friend, do it in relationship and do it with a heart of love. If you don't have a heart of love, go get a heart of love and then do the confrontation. All right. I'm immediately skeptical of new people. They must prove themselves. Who does Derek think he is? Derek hates this. I love this. Coming here telling me to live a bold, courageous life? How do I know he's lived a bold and courageous life? Oh, I'll pretend like none of you guys did that in the tent. Who does he think he is? Coming here with such a fire message. No. Watch. I'm going off on this really quick. When we become a church critic, it will turn our growth into a snail's pace growth. You ever gone to church? Afterwards in the car way home? Hey, Johnny, what do you think about worship? Oh, you know, praise is okay, but they really need to learn how to get into the atmosphere of worship. I only saw like 4 hands raised, and that's kind of my meter, unless the whole room does. Ooh. And the word? Could he be more seeker-friendly? I mean, come on, give me some meat, not milk. Come on, pastor. I mean, I've never led anything spiritual my whole life, but I definitely have a seat on the judge throne, and I want to be critical of every single spiritual leader and spiritual thing there is. Did you see that guy's TikTok? Celebrating a men's movement? It's men and women, dude. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a whole women's movement called Brave Love. I think that thing's rolling right now. We were just taking a moment to say maybe a men's movement would be a good thing, too. Church critic goes, what are you doing? It's got an attitude set on being critical and finding fault rather than an attitude of humility and hunger of what can I learn about Jesus and how can I grow? Can we fire the critic? Now listen, if somebody's in blatant sin, including a spiritual leader, or you know that's not walking according to the Bible, it doesn't mean you don't have a loving confrontation or relationship, but can we fire the critic today? Yeah. All right, I focus on others' weaknesses. I have a wait-and-see attitude about others' ability to change. All right, let's just fire the critic, and then we're going to move to shame and be done. I want to leave enough time. You guys feeling good? Derek, Zane, we got enough time for the next deal? All right, who here wants to fire the critic in their heart? Anyone recognizing how maybe they've been a little over-judgmental? Guys, I slip into this all the time, especially when I experience success in something. Wow, Chase, Greenhouse prayer room's really popping off. What do you think about this prayer room? Temptation, because God is moving, to go, you know, it's good, but if they could taste a little bit of the missional fire we have in Greenhouse, I think it would take their prayer room next level. Wow, that's amazing insight. Haven't they been praying 24/7 for 20-something years? Yeah, but I've been doing this thing a year and a half, so call me a pro, baby. Now, the temptation as we experience success is to become like the pro. The attitude of a learner in humility is where God can land in greater measure. So what if you do have success? So what if you do experience? Let's learn from each other the rest of our life. It's a way more fun way to live. I like IHOP. I like Upper Room. It's all prayer, man. Let's be on the same team and do some damage for the kingdom. We don't have time to attack each other in the body of Christ anymore. There's zero time for it. What about that YWAM base over there in Paris? I bet they're on fire. What about the one in Nepal, man? I heard they're really... they're focused on the unreached. They live among the unreached. They're burning. Well, what about that other missions thing, that triad deal, man? What do you guys, I mean, they don't have as many young people. They're reaching totally unreached places in Iran and Armenia. We should celebrate. Man, what about Bethel, dude? Are they too charismatic? I don't know, but healing broke out, and guess what? The person when we told the story, Bill Johnson, he was the guy who said Lyme's is no big deal for God, and Christy Brin is healed. I'm going to celebrate. Well, what about that conservative evangelical church down the road? I don't know, dude, but one of my friends who was lost went to it one time, heard the gospel, and got radically saved. I'm super grateful for him. I feel fire on this because if your speech gets set free, your life will get set free. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If all you have is judgment coming out of your mouth and critical attitude coming out of your mouth, what does your heart look like? We got to celebrate the body of Christ because we are moving into days of unprecedented salvation, revival, and reformation. And if you want to be in the game, you can't have a critical attitude. You got to be willing to celebrate because guess what? 19-year-old Johnny's going to come your way next year when you're on staff, and he's going to be even more on fire than you are, and you got to celebrate him. And all of a sudden, this organization is going to show up, and you got to celebrate him. Because if you can't celebrate, you can't receive the anointing of what somebody's walking in. Why don't I walk in healing? Well, you judged Bethel your whole life. But they said some things that I wasn't sure. Yeah, if there was something that was off and needs to be confronted, that's great. But if it's preaching Jesus Christ and Christ crucified and it's all kingdom, baby, we got to start celebrating. Yeah. Whew, I feel God on this one strong today. Say this to me. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
We retire the critic.
We retire the critic.
Jesus. We want to celebrate. Each other.
Other ministries.
Other movements. Churches. All over the world. Spiritual leaders. Amen. All right. All right, let's destroy rejection really quick, okay? Says to me,
Jesus,
we repent for every way we've agreed with rejection. Destroy it, Lord. We receive mercy. We're not rejected. We're forgiven. We're loved. We're free. So we're going to bring freedom everywhere we go. We're in a family with a good dad. It's God. Amen. Somebody celebrate real quick. Okay, I want to hit. Man, we don't have time for shame, so do it later. Also, if you get really hungry, last plug, this is all just in Freedom Manual. If you really want to go like supernova next level, free, walking more like Jesus, there's a freedom too. It's amazing. Ask your staff for it if you get desperate. Also, Culture Shift is what me and Derek have been using. You can get it. I don't know if you guys have it, but you can get it online if you want it. For Unbelief to Faith and Culture Surrender, it's another manual. All of them are amazing. But one thing I felt as I was talking this morning, sharing with you guys, really want to leave time, so we're going to do this quick, is I felt there was a measure of freedom that God wants to bring from lust and sexual sin and perversion today. And so here's what we're going to do. Some of you guys are going to need a moment later today where you need to pull a staff aside and you're going to need to confess sin. Some of you, though, have already done that, and today you need to lock into faith. That's what we're about to do as friends, that you're actually forgiven. Because the shame monster comes so strong, and he wants to tell you, especially with sexual sin, because the Bible is very clear, sexual sins, when you sin against your own body, has a different measure. It hits you differently. And so you've got to be violent to cut soul ties. You've got to be violent to cut past sin. You've got to be violent in the spirit. So you got to stand up with me really quick. And I'll say this, if you really want to get free too after this violent spiritual moment, you might have to do violent practical things. When I got set free at 19, and I got set free at 19, I encountered the Holy Ghost, and it was like my whole mind thought differently. I had a brand new MacBook Pro my parents gave me for college. I was 19 years old, and I felt the Lord tell me to give it away. And I wrestled, and then I felt there was a guy in my base to give it away to, and so I wrestled. This isn't celebrating Chase. This is celebrating my weakness right now and God's kindness. I felt like he really said, hey, give it away. This is an access point for you. I said, all right. So I gave it to my school leader. Crazy moment to confirm. He's like, wow, I've been praying for this exact model. He was like a graphic designer guy. I've been looking for this exact computer. This is so generous, but also so crazy for my life. I did not have a personal computer for 2 years. I went back to college after my DTS. And for 2 years, I said no to having a personal computer because I wanted to put up a really practical, safe boundary to walk in legitimate freedom. If Jesus died to set me free of sexual sin and perversion and addiction to that stuff, it's not wrong or crazy to do radical things to walk out that freedom. Some of you might need to order a flip phone. Some of you might need to delete apps for the rest of your DTS. Some of you might need to maybe put the computer away for a while. Whatever it takes, it is worth a season of inconvenience to save future marriage, to save future family, to break generational curses off your line. It is worth a season of inconvenience. No matter how costly or how embarrassing it might feel to see. No. Who cares what people think? If somebody can't respect the decisions you're making to live an inconvenient life, to walk in real holiness, then they're not worthy of walking in deep relationship with you. And I'm telling you, I have a fire on this because it was a turning point moment in my life. It was the most liberating thing for me to walk in deeper intimacy with Jesus, was getting free and forgiven for all sexual sin in my past, specifically with pornography. So we're going after that today, okay? We're going to repent for every way we've allowed pornography into our life. We're starting there. Any way we've allowed the lies of unbelief that we won't be satisfied, that we got to have just a little bit. Anyway, even 5%, we're going to repent together. We're going to put under the blood. Can we do that together, guys? Yeah. Say this with me. In Jesus' name,
we repent
for all forms of pornography.
Forgive us, Lord.
Say, we receive
full forgiveness
for every mistake
with porn.
In Jesus' name.
I'm calling a spade today, guys. We just got to call it like it is, okay? We're just going for it. Okay, we're going to go one more round. We're going to go any way from sexual promiscuity or premarital sex, any way we've had any of that stuff in our life, we're just going to repent right now, okay? We're going to do it publicly. If you need to drive it home later, that's great, but some of you guys are going to get liberated right now. And if you don't have this sin, you're just going to pray it out loud with me, interceding with your friends on their behalf, okay? Say this to me, in Jesus' name, we repent. For all sexual sin, sex before marriage, sexual experimentation, any sexual sin, we ask your forgiveness, Jesus. Wash us clean by the blood. Make me brand new by the blood of Jesus. I receive forgiveness in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, one last place we're going to take ground. It starts in the mind, so it starts with thoughts. So we're going to repent of any perverted thoughts, any homosexual thoughts, and we're going to just ask God to cleanse us and wash us clean. That offends you, it's just in the Bible. Say this with me,
in Jesus' name,
we repent for all perverted thoughts,
all homosexual thoughts,
any sexual fantasies.
We ask your forgiveness,
Jesus.
Cleanse our minds.
Renew our minds
in Jesus' name.
And we receive forgiveness.
That's good, man.
Okay, now we're going to repent. This is different than the sin. We're going to repent for all shame for when we justified beating ourselves up. It's a separate part. It's a separate deal. So say this with me.
In Jesus' name,
we repent
for all shame.
Tied to sexual sin.
We receive mercy.
We won't beat ourselves up anymore.
We're free.
We're forgiven.
So
shame.
Get out of my life.
Sexual sin.
Get out of my life.
Don't come back. Okay. The Bible says those who put their hope in the Lord will never be put to shame. So we're putting our entire hope right now in Jesus, that you are brand new in him, that this isn't a hype speech, that you are washed clean in him, this isn't a hype speech, that you are brand new, washed by the blood today in this tent, okay? Say this to me, in Jesus' name,
I replace
shame
and
rejection
with the truth
that I am radically loved.
That I'm clean.
For the ladies now,
I'm beautiful.
For the men, I'm handsome. Say this with me,
in Jesus' name.
I'm a new creation.
The old is gone.
The new is come.
So light me on fire, Jesus.
Pour out your spirit today.
We're hungry
for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back. Actually, can we just do 5 minutes so that we have time? It's our last day. Take 5 minutes. Run to the bathroom fast as you can. In and out of the bathroom.
what they told me, that's why I'm sitting here with my life in a perfect world, I guess. Wonder if it will progress to something else.
Tell your friends to hustle back, hustle back.
Wants to be alone and never hear a thing, but I would be the death of me. Wondering if I'm made for more than going down old roads and patterns. Have I put my calling beyond me and everything, everything? Take me back to where I first met you, filled with love, kind of power. Leave behind my sheltered desires and everything, everything. I don't wanna live like I did before. Burn my flesh, it's an open door. We don't really talk like this no more. I don't wanna live like I did before. Burn my flesh, it's an open door. We don't really talk like this no more.
Guys, let's get back to our seats. If your roommate isn't here, your teammate isn't here, tell them to run. If you're coming down that path, let's get down here. It's time. Let's bring it in. Bring it back in. Awesome. As people are coming back in, let's just take 2 minutes. Any feedback? Any questions? Everyone feeling light and free today? Jonah, are you going to come help lead us, bro?
Yeah, Jonah!
Oh, yeah, no, of course, but are you going to sing? Let's get it set up. We keys, microphone, guitar. Epic. Okay, any feedback from last session or any last questions on freedom in general before we go for one more moment together with Jesus? Any last questions, any other feedback? I just want to make, go ahead, because I want to make sure you guys have, you feel equipped with tools to walk in personal freedom in a greater measure and lead others into a greater measure of freedom. So, yes, what's your thought, question? Yes.
So the Lord just shared a word with me on critiquing others.
Uh-huh.
And he said, if you don't have the
good. If you don't have the authority to speak into life, don't speak about it, especially critically. That's right. Amazing. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this will help me, guys. I just want to get into a little atmosphere of gratitude and faith together. So if we could take the next 30 seconds, a minute, I just want us to pray our own prayers of gratitude for what the Lord has been setting you free of personally. I just want you to say it out loud. Like if the Lord has been ministering, like, Lord, thank you for setting me free of rejection today, Lord. Thank you for setting me free yesterday of fear, Lord. Whatever the Lord's been doing, I want us just to, it'll help me as we jump into this last thing. Let's just pray a minute out loud your own words. Just go through, like, anything that God has done this week. It could be like some of the testimonies that you guys have already shared, Lord. Thank you for lifting that deal off my stomach. Thank you for whatever it is that God has been doing in your life. Can we just start with a minute of just real-time gratitude from our hearts? Just let it go up to Jesus as a sweet fragrance right now. I just want to start with a little gratitude. It'll help me as I'm discerning where we're going to go right now. So, Lord, we just thank you so much, God, for this week, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way you're pouring out on us, Jesus. Thank you for meeting us with your tangible presence, God. Thank you for meeting us with power. Thank you for real healing miracles this week, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, God, for legitimate freedom, God. Thank you for busting through, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to read a quick passage out of 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to go for it. Here we go. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. I think Derek read this yesterday, but we're going to say it again. Let's get the Bible out loud and in our hearts. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So we're in a tent full of people that have turned to the Lord. The veil that has kept us from seeing God for who he really is and Jesus for who he really is has been removed. It's good news. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's finish the thought, though. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. I have faith today. I've had faith this whole week. That God is transforming us from one degree to another into his image and likeness. That in the presence of the Spirit of God, we are being transformed by his very nature, by his very glory, to look more and more like him. And I have an expectation on this last hour together that the Holy Spirit wants to meet with every individual person and heart more than I want it. I think he is a good father longing to pour out. I think that the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says it, all you have to do is ask. Ask, seek, knock. Ask for what? The best thing you could ever ask for is more of the Holy Spirit. You want to walk in greater freedom? Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. You want to replace everything you're getting free of? Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Well, Chase, is this a one-time thing? No, look throughout the book of Acts. Even after Pentecost, Derek shared it yesterday, Acts chapter 4, they gathered again. Place was shaking in a prayer meeting. And it says what? They were filled with the Spirit. Who are those guys? Same guys filled at Pentecost. So I know you're going to get a whole week on the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have another moment of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and gifts and all the stuff. And it's going to be amazing. But today, me and Derek and Zane, we've had such a strong unction that God wants to pour out power on every single individual in this school. That in an atmosphere of faith that we've been in this whole week together, that there was an encounter with God's holy, powerful presence,
that the Father wanted to give you the greatest gift he could give you to fill your heart, which was his very spirit. And so I'm starting there in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read a few verses to continue to build faith. And then Derek can come up. He's going to say a few words. And then our goal today is we want to pray for as many of you individually as we possibly can. So Zane, staff, everyone's going to help. But I have an expectation that many of you are going to have physical encounters with the presence and power of God today. It's going to change you. Some of those things you've been praying, your mind is going to get renewed today in the power of God. Some of those things you've been longing, like, I just got to get free. The power of God's going to set you free today. So I have a strong sense and a strong expectation. Lean in with faith. Lean in with faith the next hour with us. Does that sound good? Okay, Acts 1:8, Derek said this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Everyone say power.
Power.
One of the things, there's many things. The Holy Spirit is God, so it's endless. But one of the things, when we get a measure of the Holy Spirit, when we ask, he pours out power in our lives. Everybody say power.
Power.
Power to overcome the enemy in your personal life. Power to walk in the ways that Jesus walked. Power to do things that are actually impossible without him. Why was it that Peter, the same man that denied Christ 3 times on his day of greatest need, his rabbi, his close friend, I'll never deny you, denies him 3 times. Why is it this same Peter, after he is filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the same man stands up in the same city where they crucified Christ. He stands up and he gives the first apostolic message of the church and 3,000 get added. I would say one of the primary things that happened is he got filled with the Holy Spirit and power. It changes you. Things our flesh and our will cannot do, the power of God and the Spirit of God can do. So I think there is some transactions for many of you today where the power and the Spirit of God is going to change your mind, is going to change your heart, is going to transform you today. Is anybody hungry for that? Let's read a few more verses. Because remember, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit in a greater measure, you become that much more dangerous to the enemy and the works of darkness. Trust me, this tent, let's go faith. This tent has enough young, on fire, hungry leaders set apart from birth to shake the whole earth. And the reason I can say that with confidence, and it's not hype, is Jesus, when he ascended back into heaven, the multitudes were gone. There was only 120 in an upper room. There's more than that in this tent. So if you think we're just going to have a pretty moment today, that's not it. I'm after God in a real way. And I know you are too. We're in this together. We are after God empowering us in a real way to walk in the ministry and the works of Jesus because we have a generation that needs to know Jesus in real power. But when we are unified in heart and mind, which we are, God can then pour out his Spirit in an atmosphere of faith and unity to where we become transformed more into the likeness of Jesus and we can walk out into the things that God has, the destiny God has over each one of our lives. And it can't shake the earth. Why else would Jesus give them a mission of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth? Because it was possible. He wanted a dream that was impossible to the mind of flesh. But to what the Spirit of God can do through your life, man, it's going to be insane what God does when he empowers us, right? Okay, Acts chapter 2, they're all in one place. Let's read a few more verses, and then we won't go much longer, so we have time to pray. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amazing moments to get more tongues in Holy Spirit week. But some of you who have never spoken in tongues, but you're longing for anything God wants to do, you're going to get filled with power and you're going to speak in tongues today. Why tongues? It's perfect prayer. It's unhindered prayer. A communication between you and God. You can pray anytime. Well, how do I do it? By faith. What's it sound like? By faith. Sound good? Okay, there was my 12-second teaching on tongues. You'll get better one later. Okay. Just want to stir your faith because the Bible verses for me, this is what unlocked my heart with my background. This is what unlocked my heart to hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit at a greater measure in my life. Acts 4, after they've been told not to preach the name of Jesus. Here's what they ask, end of the prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats, verse 29, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Man, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to pray that there be an activation of greater signs, wonders, and miracles everywhere you go. Not so you can make a name for yourself, but so that Jesus could be seen for the all-powerful God that he is. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Power follows where the gospel goes. I'm almost done. And then, Derek, anything that you got, I'm just teeing you up, bro. Anything you're feeling before we pray for everybody. Okay, how do I know this is for me? That was all Jews. Acts chapter 10. Well, this is when he was Gentiles. After he had a vision of this, while Peter was still saying these things, he's preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell. Don't wait for somebody to lay hands on you. Some of you feel your heart pounding because the presence of God's going to land on you before somebody comes and prays for you. Because God is so eager to touch your life. Come with so much hunger. Guys, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, 19 years old, I remember I was sitting right there like, Jesus, baptize me, fill me. Before anybody laid a hand on me, the tangible power and presence of God filled my physical frame and my heart, my mouth, and my hands before anyone touched me. Some of you are going to have a supernatural encounter with God before anybody lays a hand today. The believers from the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gifts of the Holy Spirit were poured out even on the Gentiles. For they're hearing them speaking in tongues, extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. All right, let's go one more verse. Can we do one more verse? I'm going to hand it over to Derek. Acts chapter 19. This is just to stir your hunger for the Spirit of God, okay? And I want you to see that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit was going everywhere the church was expanding. Acts 19. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. He said, into what then are you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Paul laid his hands on Gentile believers. Anybody here a Gentile believer? Probably all of us. Maybe a few guys that are 100% Jewish, and it's amazing. But the Holy Spirit's for all. Okay? Acts paints the picture. The Holy Spirit is for every everyday believer. Being empowered with the Spirit of God is for every believer that calls on the name of Jesus. So I did you a rapid fire walk through the book of Acts just so that you could stir faith in your heart to see that you're getting filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, I want to say one more thing before I hand it to Derek. Is I think that we live in unprecedented times because in the last 15 years of my life, I've already seen God do more than I could ever ask or imagine. I've seen a stadium in Orlando filled with 40,000 people, primarily young people, saying yes to the Great Commission when people said, you'll never see a stadium filled on the Great Commission. You need something flashier. You need bigger bands. You need bigger whatever. Let's go to Brazil next, the Sin Brazil. Oh, you know what happened there? They said, don't be surprised if it doesn't fill till like a month before the stadium because Brazilians, they kind of come in late. One Instagram post, the Sin Brazil, no names announced, nothing. A soccer temple there, it's called Marumbi Stadium, was filled in 6 hours, 70,000. The stadium called, shocked. This is just stir your faith. This is the hour you're in. This is the hour we live in. The stadium called, shocked, saying like, did Andy already share this story with you guys? He'll probably do it in greater detail. But they called, they said, every seat's been bought. And Andy and Teo, help lead the Sin. Teo leads a ministry in Brazil called Dunamis. It's incredible. Yeah, that's right. Mount Zion, amen. And they called Andy and Teo and said, hey, every seat's been purchased. They're like, huh, that's impossible. Check your system. They're like, no, we thought so too. We checked 3 times. It's filled. And it broke the record. What record? The fastest our stadium ever got filled. Who held the record? U2 and Coldplay. So the Great Commission just filled an arena. Soccer temple in Brazil, faster than the biggest band of our day. Goes on. Darlene Cunningham gives Andy and Taylor word. You need to get like another jar of oil. You got to get another stadium. They rent a smaller stadium. It fills up over the weekend. 2 stadiums in Sao Paulo. Then they go to a third stadium in Brasilia. 150,000 Brazilians gathered on February 8th, 2020 for the Send Brazil. Three simultaneous stadium gatherings. I watched wheelchairs get passed forward. I watched blind eyes open. I watched the power of God break out in stadiums in ways I could not imagine. Wheelchairs left in the field. God moving in power. 12 hours of nonstop worship. It got hot. Brazilians got louder. It rained. Maybe they'll quit. They got louder. We live in days of unprecedented ways that God is moving in power. And all God is looking for is surrendered hearts, which is all of you in this tent, saying, Jesus, here I am, emptied out, free, forgiven by the blood. Pour your power out on me so that however you want to use my life, the answer is a yes and amen. So that Jesus can get glory in a youth movement revival all over the earth. That's what we're a part of. So I'm going to hand this to Derek, but that's one story. He might have one or two more things he wants to say, but we're going to stand in just a minute. We're going to get some keys, some worship going on. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, and God's going to move in power.
Just Chase is sharing from this perspective right here, and I want to bring you into something else to re-highlight about you as an individual. I really do have the fear of the Lord over this morning, and I don't like hype. I couldn't care less if any of you had a physical manifestation today. I honestly feel that as many people that I can lay hands on and give you a prophetic word, I know that the Lord wants me to do that this morning. But I want to highlight three things for you real quick. He touched on shame a little bit, and I think it's important for this moment so you guys understand that your background doesn't define what your future reality is going to be. You know, I was sexually abused at the age of 5 by an older kid in the neighborhood. I was sexually abused at the age of 9 by a babysitter. And I didn't tell anyone in my life till my wife 4 years into marriage, which is a big no-no. You don't do that, right? You tell your wife everything you possibly could tell her. But, you know, I'm this, like, macho guy. You know, how am I going to tell my wife these things? How am I going to tell anybody these things? And so throughout my early years, that was something that I pondered a lot. And some of you have shame over the very same things. My parents got divorced in a very violent manner. How many of you are from divorce backgrounds? To be honest with you, I didn't know how deeply it affected me until this last year. And I'm not like a sit here and let's have a cry fest about stuff. That's not my MO. Nor am I the type of person that wants to sit here and tell you you're a victim your whole life. Because that doesn't help you either. But you probably don't understand how much your past trauma has actually affected you. And I want you, just for a moment, because our subject is the power of God invading your life. One of the big blockers and hindrances is you not believing that you can actually overcome your past. It is a bigger deal than you're thinking. And one of the things that transformed this idea in my mind is when I started to interact with my father-in-law. Now, my father-in-law, like I said earlier in the week, he passed away about 14 months ago. And you guys don't know Andy Bird very well, but just imagine if Andy passed away. What kind of a void? Staff, imagine that for a second. What kind of a void that would place in your ministry? And I remember my last conversation with Brian was strictly about, Derek, when are you going to stop gathering Christians in Europe and reach the lost? He was in his deathbed, and I'm sitting there, and the last conversation I have with him is about evangelism in Europe. And I want to re-highlight this for you, that your shame falls to the wayside as God starts to put you in the service of his kingdom, and you don't have time any longer to ponder the pain of the past. And as God starts to meet you in moving forward, the pain actually becomes a platform to not be like a, you know, celebrity Christian. Your pain is now a platform to persevere, to be a productive individual. You know how they use the, you know, piece a lot. Okay. Your pain is a platform which God will stand in your life and shout from. And so I really wanted to highlight that to me, some of you today, that your shame over your past, it's not a small thing. It's real. And the more that you can talk about it earlier with someone you trust, the more you can get free earlier from it. Now, the reason I've highlighted men this week is because when Brian died, the only thing that we weren't able to do together is see a men's movement. And Brave Love ladies in here, all of you are going to be Brave Love ladies. I love you. Trust me. But men, I'm going to say it again. You are not toxic. You are to be the leader of your future family, your household, a missions movement. And there's something on the men in this room that I really want to generate in you. And I will say it again and again, that you are not to be passive in this assignment. You are not to let someone else take your assignment and run with it for you. Trust me, if you do not father a generation, Satan will. If you do not father a generation, Satan will. Now, moving into prayer. My father-in-law would write my wife poems. I love poetry. If you like writing, you should do it. He would write her poems, and they were prophetic poems. And in the poems, his name was Mordecai, and her name was Blue. And in these poems, if you don't know the story of Esther, Esther's uncle, father figure, was Mordecai. And if you have not read Esther, you need to read it, because it is the prophetic book for this generation. If you don't remember that Haman in the kingdom of Babylon is going to try to kill all the Jews, Mordecai hears about this story, hears about what's about to happen, and goes to Esther and says to her, Esther, you've got to do something. Esther replies, I could die. I haven't seen my king husband in over a month. Strange. I haven't seen him in over a month. And if anyone is to go before him, they have to be invited. And if they are not, then if he doesn't extend his scepter, then I immediately am put to death. Mordecai goes, this is the type of people you need in your life. You don't need the person that's just sitting there all day telling you you're a beautiful butterfly for God. You need the person who is willing to tell you the hard things. Mordecai goes, Esther, do not think that you are going to be safe in the palace. If you do not do something, Esther, trust me, God will raise someone else up, but you and your household, you will perish. Esther replies and says, okay. Mordecai then goes, how do you not know you were born for such a time as this, Esther? Listen to me. You were born at a time where you did not cause the problems of society. You did not cause the injustices of our day. You did not create 3 billion people across the planet that have no opportunity to hear the gospel. But will you do something nonetheless? Will you take responsibility? Listen to me. In 2008, were you in elementary school or middle school? Raise your hand if you were in elementary school in 2008. Okay. Raise your hand if you were in middle school. Raise your hand if you were in high school, if you were in high school in 2008. Raise your hand if you were in kindergarten in 2008. Shout out. Lauren Cunningham, listen to me. This is so important. Lauren Cunningham came to my father-in-law and my mother-in-law while she's in her sickbed and asks, would you get a prophetic word for YWAM? They pray about it and hear a word that there would be 200,000 missionaries raised up within YWAM and sent to the nations. Give or take a year or two, 2006, 2007, 2008. You were in elementary school or middle school when a woman in her sickbed was prophesying about your life. And here you are in this room partaking in a word of 200,000 global missionaries across the planet. Will you take responsibility like Esther took responsibility in her generation? Will you guys stand up?
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to know more about DTS and Fighting for Against, you can check out our website at ywamkona.com or reach out to us on our social media platforms. And for more of Living a Life of Freedom, stay right here on the Fighting for Against podcast.